So tonight we come to our 13th, what I call inner evidence. There is the outer manifestation that sometimes comes when you are filled with the Spirit. But when those do not appear, then there is always the inner witness that you are still filled with the Spirit. How can I know? We've already talked about 12 ways that you will know if you are filled with the Spirit. And tonight we come to number 13. All Christians are aware of the will of God. Even those who have learned nothing but the Lord's Prayer know, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But all Christians don't feel the same about the will of God. And here's where a great difference comes in. In the minds of a lot of people, the will of God just refers to the law of God, like the Ten Commandments, a list of do's and don'ts, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the Golden Rule. When you say the will of God, they immediately think of laws that God has laid down for them to obey, and that's about all that comes to their mind when they hear the term the will of God. They visualize a rule book. But also at the same time, in their frame of reference, they say, "And I don't like God's laws. I don't study God's laws. I don't put God's laws to memory. I don't take immediate steps to obey God's laws. And I disagree with a number of the laws that I find in the Bible. Tithing, forgiveness, and so forth." And so there is an attitude of resistance even to that will of God that all Christians are aware of, known as the commandments. If we talk to the average Christian about being out of the will of God, he takes it that you're saying he's breaking some commandment. Now, the Spirit-filled Christian has a different attitude towards the law of God than the non-filled. To the Spirit-filled, the laws of God are good. They are wise. To him, they are really revelations of God's love. If you don't tell your child that something is wrong, the child gets burned, say, on the stove, the child turns around and blames you. "Why didn't you tell me I would have gotten burned? You don't love me." And this is one of the mistakes we have about disciplined children, that if you don't discipline and then they get hurt, then they're going to say, "Well, it's your fault I got hurt because you didn't tell me." So the Spirit-filled Christian says, "I'm glad God gives me laws because they're for my protection, they're for my benefit, they're my blessing, and I'm thankful for them." He tries to learn as many as he can. He tries to know what they are. He does his best to remember them, though he forgets many of them. But to him, they are believed and they are of great value, and he's thankful for them. But in the Spirit-filled, there is another aspect of the will of God that concerns him, that does not concern the average Christian. If you ask the average Christian what his long and short-term goals are, get your pencil out, because he'll start telling you this, that "I'm planning on buying this, and I'm planning on going here this summer, and I'm planning on probably moving to another job, or moving some of the poor of the city, or moving to a new house, or I'm planning on doing this, and I'm planning on doing that." And the guy will have a whole long list of all the things that are his short-range and long-range goals. "I'm laying up a nice retirement. I have so many CDs. I have this financial goal." And he has all these things laid out for him. "I have plans for my kid to go to college, for my kid to be this." I mean, there's numerous plans that this guy has laid out. And then as you listen to him, though, you may, as you hear some of his plans, think to yourself, "Well, that sounds kind of foolish. I don't think I'd be making that kind of plan if I was that fellow." And then there'd be something that would be rather questionable whether or not they're even right for a Christian to do. You may even have the audacity to ask the person, "Have you sought the will of God on these plans?" If you do, he'll probably get offended. He'll get upset with you. He'll look at you in puzzlement and wonder and say, as though you're trying to ruin his chances for his future happiness, "God doesn't care what I do. nor about my plans. He's not interested in what I'm going to do with my money or with my time, with my energy. I base my plans on my wants, and that's all I'm concerned about. And I'm not concerned about the will of God. Now, the average Christian, folks, will say that. I don't ask what God's will or plans are on where I build or what I buy or what I do or where I go. That's none of his business. They don't say that, but as far as they're concerned, I'm not going to ask him because I don't want to know what he says. I don't want to know his will. I'm afraid he might say, I can't buy that or I can't go there or I can't have that. And I don't want to know the will of God regarding my short range and long range goals. I don't want to know. And I'm afraid that's the category in which most Christians fall. And you may say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll pray for you that you discover the will of God. He may say, don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want you praying for me. I just know what I want, and that's my goal, and that's what I'm going to have, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to consult God, so just don't pray for me. I've got everything already planned out, just like I want it. And that's the way I'm going to run my life. I think most Christians, folks, are like that. I really do. I really do. They may not come out point blank and say it, but that's the way they react towards the idea that they ought to have their plan scrutinized by the will of God, and even maybe canceled or changed by the will of God. Now, it's at this point that you have a difference of viewpoint between the Spirit-filled and those Christians who are not Spirit-filled. The Spirit-filled person wants to know the will of God. Wants to know. Not just on big things, but every aspect of his life. You know, Jesus said, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. Which means everything I do, he's right there. So in a real sense, everything I plan will involve him. I mean, even the least thing of value in my eye, it will involve him. So the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years, I would like to know God's plan as a Spirit-filled Christian for tonight. What this night could hold for us, we have no idea. Maybe something big could happen tonight. If it's going to happen, I hope I don't have some other plan all my own that has left God out, and I'll miss it. Wouldn't that be tragic? Wouldn't that be horrible? Just think of something. If God tonight made everybody here instant millionaires, just think of all that were here. Oh, I wish I'd have been there. Wish I'd have just been there. If God would have said it's my will tonight to give everybody here $1 million, the house would be packed. But now the Spirit-filled Christian says, I don't want to miss. When God wants to do something I haven't planned for, I don't want to plan for something that'll cost it or keep me from getting it. I don't want to interfere with him, whatever the hour or the day or the week or the month might be. The Spirit-filled person is not eager to make snap decisions. This is one real quick way you'll find a Spirit-filled Christian. He won't make a snap decision. He won't just say, well, let me think about it. He'll say, let me ask the Lord about it. Oh, you better hurry up. This deal's hot. I mean, you got 5 hours. Make up your mind. And the guy said, listen, I'll just ask the Lord about it. If the Lord wants me to have it, I got 50 years. You know, I'll get it. I'm not going to worry about it. There's a relaxed attitude about the Christian as he is approached by decisions. There's no big hurry. You know, if I miss it, God wants it missed. And that's great. And if you're not, you couldn't sell it anyway off of under me. I'll get it. So don't worry about it. And you're not going to rush a Spirit-filled Christian because he wants to know the will of God. It'd be hard to sell him encyclopedias all over the wall, you know. He won't buy them just on the drop of a hat. Let me think about it. Let me ask the Lord about it and get his word. And this may sound trivial, but I mean, this is the way a Spirit-filled person begins to mold and shape their life, and you become aware that more and more, you're not making decisions anymore yourself. You're beginning to consult the Lord and asking him, what is your will? What is your will? Now, not every decision is a life-threatening matter. but many are. And many you and I would consider very trivial and minor could turn out to be turning points in our life or the life of somebody else. Daniel one day just decided to go and pray. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. He opened the window, as he always did. And he knelt down and he prayed. What an insignificant decision to make, to kneel down in front of your window and pray. But because he did that, he ended up in the lion's den. Now, you'd never think a decision so minor as kneeling down to pray would get you in such trouble. But it was the will of God that Daniel be seen and Daniel be put in the lion's den. And then Daniel be rescued. Now, that was such a small thing. But I believe Daniel always wanted the will of God for his life. Never dreamed that when he knelt down to pray that he'd end up in the lion's den because his enemies claimed that he was praying to a god besides Nebuchadnezzar. And he was. He was praying to the true God. Now, the spirit-filled person has but one fear regarding the will of God, and that simply is he'll miss it. Many average Christians fear finding it, for they can buy what they want. But the spirit-filled's only fear concerning the will of God is he'll miss it, and not know it, and not learn it. You see, the Christian who is not filled only cares about his goal, having what he wants, fulfilling his plan. For instance, let us say, there's nobody here named Bob, so let's say Bob goes someplace that he knows he shouldn't have gone. Let us say he goes on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Okay? What's the will of God, the spirit-filled person says, for me at 11 o'clock Sunday morning? What's the will of God? I think the obvious answer would be the will of God would be in the Lord's house. That's obvious. What's the will of God? Well, I got other plans. But the spirit-filled person, okay, so Bob, he's not spirit-filled, and so he doesn't come. He goes out, and let us say he just goes someplace he's been wanting to go, and he had such a good time. Gets back home, he tells everybody tomorrow at work how good a time he had. I mean, it just so much pleasure, and that never happens about him. It's a great memory. Boy, what a wonderful time I had. Okay, let us say Sue. I don't think we have any Sues in the church. So let's say Sue went out and she pulled out that credit card. Her husband says she should have burned a month ago, and she bought some things on credit that they couldn't afford and she didn't need. But she had such pleasure, had such enjoyment. She came home and she just looked at them and said, "Oh, isn't that wonderful and pretty?" It really got them in financial trouble. But I mean, they survived, paid the bills, and saved the marriage. Yeah, no problem. And so Sue's got what she wanted. Hey, I don't have any Eds in the church. Let's say Ed feels a little bit financially insecure. He's not getting as much money in his saving accounts every year as he wants, so he takes a second job to the neglect of his wife and his children. But boy, that big old savings account now sure is impressive as he looks at it. His little checkbook is beginning to build now. He's getting a good sum of money, and he's real proud of his bank account. And nothing happens. His children, they don't turn out bad, and his wife, but I mean, he's neglected them all these years. The children are gone, but he's got that bank account. You say, well, what's wrong with that, preacher? Just wonder what the old boy missed out on. You know, I wonder what he missed out on. Do you really think that he got what was best? Do you really think that Sue got what was best? Do you really think that Bob got what was best? I mean, did they settle for something less than best? I think they did. I think they did. I really do. Now, they may not know it, but they missed out on something. Now, some say, well, it pays to follow your own inclinations. It pays to follow your own intuition. I mean, when you get an idea, go for it. Don't worry about the will of God. And that's the way you get ahead in life and get the things you want. That really may happen, people. You may get the things you want. You may get ahead, you may get a big bank account, and you may have just about everything you want. But the spirit-filled Christian doesn't find that to bring happiness. Why? Because he always fears, you know, that probably wasn't the will of God. And because it wasn't the will of God, I have missed the best God had planned for me all those years. I got what I wanted, but I believe I could have had something better than what I got. Now the non-Christian says, no way, Jose. The spirit-filled man says, no, it's not worth it. Now it's a matter of your opinion of God. It boils down to that. That's all it boils down to. Does God have a plan for your life? Question number one. He has a plan for the universe, without a doubt. Everything is planned that God does. Does he have a plan for your life? He lives with you. Do you think he has a plan for you tomorrow? Or is he just going to kind of just drag along with you and whatever you do is fine with him? Or does God have a plan tomorrow for your life? So yeah, I guess he has a plan for my life. Which hour do you think he has a plan for? Well, I guess all of them. Well, do you think God's plan for your life tomorrow is a good one? Now, I'm going to get your opinion of God tonight. Do you think it's a good one? I say, well, I guess so. Is it better than you could devise? Follow me now. Is it better than you could devise? Are you smarter than God, or is God smarter than you? Do you know more than God, or does God know more than you? And that's the question. I say, well, I guess God knows better than me. Well, then you mean God has a better plan for you tomorrow than you could come up with yourself? Be honest now, does it? Yeah. Do you think God loves you? Answer that now. Yeah, I guess he loves me. Well, would you like to have God's plan for you tomorrow, or would you like to have something less than God's plan? Which is better? Now, the spirit-filled person said, I want the plan of God for my life tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Because I believe it's the best plan, it's the wisest plan, it's the most loving plan. And so why on earth would I want something less than what God would give me tomorrow? The spirit-filled Christian says, I'll get more of what is best. The natural, unspirit-filled Christian will say, well, I'll get what I want. The spirit-filled, I want the best. I want the best. Sometimes they're the same thing, and sometimes they're not the same thing. A spirit-filled person is a spirit-led person. I'll say it again. A spirit-filled person is spirit-led. He allows the Spirit to lead him in his life. That means in all the decision areas of his life. Even if a spirit-filled person could get anything he wanted, he would say, I don't want it if God doesn't want it for me. I don't want it. Even though it's something I would like to have, if he does not want me to have it, I don't want it. Now the spirit-filled Christian, you see, doesn't think like the average Christian. God's will covers all areas of my life. Every area is covered by the will of God. There is a plan for all of my life. And the only fear, again, that the spirit-filled man has is that I don't discover it. I don't find the plan of God. I don't discover the will of God. I don't know what God wants to do with me and you. I don't know. But I believe it's exciting and it's good. And it's the very best thing in the world that could ever happen. I believe that. You could never improve on it. But I sure don't know what that involves. I have no idea. There are so many unknowns about the plan of God that there's no way in the world that I could figure it out. I don't know what's supposed to happen, but he does. But the spirit-filled says, I want it to happen then. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want my plans to get in the way. I want it to happen. Because he says, if I miss the plan of God, I'm going to get cheated. And I don't want to be cheated. It's a whole different mentality than the average Christian. He not only longs for guidance from God, but he longs for it day in and day out, time and time again. As he takes a step, he wants it to be the right step and not the... You know, the spirit-filled Christian doesn't have a lot of regrets. And the non-spirit-filled Christian is filled with the regrets. The spirit-filled Christian has a great testimony. The non-spirit-filled says, well, hindsight's wonderful, isn't it? Hindsight's wonderful. If I'd only known. No, if you'd only followed God's plan, you wouldn't have made that goof. But we don't consult the Lord as much as we should, you see. And that's one of the great problems that the average Christian has. Even when the spirit-filled person is uncertain as to what God's will is on a matter, even after he is asked and prayed, he still says, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will. I leave the matter still, God, in your hands. If you don't want me to have it, stop it. Please stop it. And if you want me to have it, then give it to me. No matter what door you have to open, do it. But I leave it in your hands. And I won't complain one way or the other. I just leave it with you. Don't you know how relaxed and much peace that gives a person? It's cast your care upon Him. That's how you do it. Well, Lord, I ask for your will to be done for my life. There it is. And I expect you to do it. And He says He will. If He already has a plan, and all He needs is a green light for me to carry it out, and I give Him the green light, He'll carry it out. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. So why not? I mean, the light goes green, go, go, go. So if I give Him the green light, God's not going to sit there, honk His horn, you know. He's going. And then the Lord's will be done. I mean, this is the kind of faith the Spirit-filled Christian walks in. He tries to walk in the will of God and accepting whatever it is as the best. Huh? Not only that, but the Spirit-filled person begins to more and more lose interest, or at least, I guess, lose confidence in his own wisdom and his own intuition and his own inclinations. I have a lot of bright ideas sometimes, I think, and they're not so hot. After a while, you sit down and cool off for a while, and they're not very good. And so the Spirit-filled person just kind of says, I've got some plans, Lord, but they may not be very good. And I'd like for you to look them over, and I'll give you veto rights. I want you to study them. Look, if you will, at Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah 10:23. Oh, Lord, this is why the Spirit-filled person has no confidence in his own intuition, inclinations, and his own wisdom. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. I can make decisions, but I can't make wise decisions. I can guess, but I can't guess right every time. And chances are I'll guess wrong more than I guess right. And so the Spirit-filled man says, under this situation, if I'm not going to be very accurate, and I can make a lot of bad decisions, I wish there was somebody that could make them for me that was much wiser than me, that knew more than I knew. And then when you find God who knows all, nothing He does not know, and loves you as much as He loves you, you can't find a better guy than that. That's why we call Him the shepherd. Spirit-filled Christians see Him as a shepherd. Non-spirit-filled just sing about Him and call Him or name Him a shepherd, but they don't see Him that. A shepherd leads, but you have to be willing to consent to His will to follow Him. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Another one. Proverbs 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? If the Lord decides the way I'm to go, how on earth am I going to know what's right and what's wrong for my life if I'm not at control? And we're not. We're not. And so the failed person is a person that is very concerned about discovering the will of God. He does not want his plans to interfere with the plans of God. And he'll change his plans immediately as soon as he discovers that there is a conflict or his plan is bad and would bring disaster. The spirit-filled person fears a wasted life, a misspent life, a life devoted to self-satisfaction and self-pleasure. While we're in Proverbs, look at chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and then He shall direct thy paths. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I've changed that, the steps of a spirit-filled man, because the other kind of Christian is not even concerned. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and then the Lord delights in the way the man goes. Otherwise, he can't delight. If I don't go the way the Lord wants me to go, he cannot delight in it. And so the spirit-filled person is unlike the person who is not filled, simply because he concerns himself about the will of God. Finding it and doing it. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now notice, that you may prove, or you may demonstrate, or you may determine, or you may discover what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the spirit-filled man is always trying to find the will of God. asking, what is it? Romans 8:28, familiar text. It's a promise to a spirit-filled man. A lot of Christians claim it, but I mean it's the promise to a spirit-filled man. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, are those who are walking in His will, are trying to walk in His will. All things work together for good for those people. We often quote that to somebody who has said some kind of tragedy. Well, all things work together for good. That's not true. That's not true. It wouldn't even have happened had I not been in, out of the will of God. You could have said to Eve, well, Eve, all things work together for good. I mean, you sinned. And all things, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. If she'd have been in the will of God, all things would have worked together for good. But she got out and ate the forbidden fruit. Then we got disaster. And the result of that, it wasn't good. It was all bad. So I think a lot of times we comfort people with this verse when we have no right to, because it's not true. If you're trying to discover the will of God, then once discovered, you walk in the will of God, then yes, all things work together. It's part of the plan. But if I'm not concerned about the plan, and I'm not in the plan, and I don't care about the plan, and I'm not walking the plan, well, then what happens to me is not a part of the plan. Not a part of the plan. So the spirit-filled person has a great assurance in his life that everything's going according to God's orders. And everything's going along exactly as God wants it to, and he's satisfied. He trusts the Lord, he rests in the Lord, and he has an assurance that all things are working for right and for good. In the end, he will agree with the Lord. It was the best decision I could have ever made, was the one that I made. Now, I'm not saying a spirit-filled person doesn't make plans, doesn't have dreams, doesn't invest, doesn't go anywhere. I didn't say that. I'm just saying is that when he begins to have plans, formulate plans that he wants to accomplish or goals or things he wants to buy, he just goes to the Lord and says, hey, Lord, this is my plan. Now, what's yours? Can I have it? Do you want me to have it? Do you have something better? Should I forget it? Should I pursue it? May I know your will? And that's all he does. Doesn't mean, well, I can't ever have anything. It just means that I ask God what you will. Now, I wish I had time about how the Lord begins to show you it's His will. Things begin to fall in place and you get your dream. It just comes true. And that's how you know. If everything is against you and you can't do anything but kick the doors down, you better leave it alone. You know, just don't do it. But we're not in tonight the message topic of how do I discover the will of God. We're just talking about a spirit-filled person who wants to discover the will of God. And he takes his plans and his hopes and his dreams and his wants and lays them before God and says, God, if this is what you want, work it out. And if it's not what you want, take it out. But I leave it with you, and I want your answer. Many times you read in the scriptures, wait upon the Lord. Wait for what? Wait for his leading. Wait for his guidance. Wait for the green light. That's what you wait for. One more verse, which as I feel like a prayer of a man filled with the Spirit. Psalms 143:8, and we'll close with this man's request. Psalms 143:8. I believe it's the middle part of the verse. You can read all the verse if you want to. I think I'll just read the last part of it. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, and I will lift up my soul unto thee. Cause me to know, and then I'll walk in it. A spirit-filled man just doesn't want to know the will of God to vote on it. He wants to know it to do it. So when the Lord reveals to him his will, he gladly obeys him. So there's another difference between a spirit-filled person and a person not spirit-filled, their attitude towards discovering and following the will of God in their life. Father, we're thankful again tonight for one more difference between the two. And we can understand how a person who is interested in the will of God would be more blessed, would come under more control, would have more benefits than one who just concerned about himself and his own interest. Father, help us this night again see that our calling to be your child is also involves a plan for our life. Detailed, worked out plan whereby you will do the best and give us the best possible for our life, knowing all the future and all the circumstances and all the factors. You have worked out a plan which is best for us. May the spirit-filled person realize that they can tap into this great plan and have it come true in their life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.